B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. Broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, live on 97.5 Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia. It is Valentine's Day today. Isn't that nice? Nicey nice. Valentine's Day. You know, we speak so much of always what's wrong in this town. It's always with the what's wrong. You know, we don't appreciate, we don't sit to take the time to sit down and appreciate what we love. Right, about Philadelphia sports. So today, let's love today. Right? Now, so I know it's impossible for 4 hours to profess love for anything in this city with the sports teams because we're always complaining. And the reason why we were complaining, it's a meritorious reason, is that we want to win the championship. So until we win a championship, we complain and we don't love and we talk about what they need and how short they are and what they're missing and all that kind of stuff. That's legit. But today, it's one day, as they say, to set aside the dislike and come up with the love. Now, let's look at it one by one. The Eagles. We love the Eagles in this town, right? We complain about they need this, they need that. We're always going to do that. They need a wide receiver. They need a skill player, this and that. But overall, there's a lot to love about the Eagles. They're not the Cleveland Browns. They're a franchise that's viable. They're a franchise that looks like they're built to be a contender every year. So I love the fact that Carson Wentz is the quarterback of his team. And I love the future of the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, let's move on to the Sixers. We love the Sixers. Now, we complain about the Sixers more than we complain about any team in this city. And that's because there are some impediments in the way, right? The Brett Brown situation. Like, we don't really love Brett Brown because he hasn't delivered yet. But this is a year where we have put him on notice to deliver. So in the meantime, we can sit and love the fact that they have Joel Embiid. And that they have Ben Simmons, and they have Jimmy Butler, and they have Tobias Harris, and they have J.J. Redick on their starting five, which is one of the best starting fives in the league. We can love that, right? Baseball. All right. We're still waiting for Bryce Harper. And we don't commit until we get Bryce Harper. When they get Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, whoever it is, we are going to love the Phillies this summer. We're going to love the excitement that they bring because they can actually win something. And then you get the Flyers. And it reminds me of the Don when he was talking to Michael, like sitting out there by the tomatoes. And he was going through all his kids. You know, Santino would have been a bad Don. Never wanted this for you. And Fredo, well, it's Fredo. You know, and if you kind of have that kind of approach to the Flyers, they've got a bright future. They've got young players. They've got a young goaltender. They've got a bright future. So I love even the prospect of the Flyers, who normally are the Fredo of the four that we're talking about. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. Well, maybe a little. But anyway, there's a lot to love. So today it's all about loving your teams, trying to find something that you really love about these teams. Be grateful for it. But then we're also going to go the other way. We're going to actually talk about love. Yes, the love that you've been involved in. Love stories. Maybe some breakup stories, just to mix them in there. Because breakup stories, first there was love, then there was breakup. And there are funny stories all around. There are heartbreaking stories. There are stories that you can confess, get it off your chest. They're interesting. Everybody's relationship stories are interesting. Am I right, Tyrone?
You are right, Mike.
relationship stories are.
So I want to hear great relationship stories today. You know, because all you hear is like, you know, couples that have been married for a really long time, some of the pizzazz is out of it. But Valentine's Day is supposed to rekindle that pizzazz. So if you're with somebody for a long time, maybe you got a little boring for a while, this is a day you want to appreciate what that person brings to you.
I love this.
Natalie?
I love everything about today's topic.
All right, so it's a love day today.
I know.
Now, Nat, I want to hear some love stories from you as well.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I'm off limits today.
No. We're going to bring all of our own stuff into this today.
Oh, I don't want to.
Yeah, as you're going to have to.
You have to quit.
Yeah, this is all about
love. Transparent.
There have been some loves in your life that have slithered away for reasons, one reason or another. But it's interesting to people how they go through life with these relationships. So we got sports relationships, we got love relationships. And then we could talk specifically about these teams because the Sixers won last night. And I know people were, they lost the lead. Red Brown can't coach. Seeing all that kind of stuff towards the end of the game. They won a game they should have won. They beat a team that's a bad team. And I actually enjoyed the game. I enjoyed the early part of that game where they had things kicking. Tobias Harris played well last night. Simmons played well. Embiid had a bounce back game. Jimmy Butler, I worry about from time to time. They got contributions. They're starting five double figures. Boom, boom, boom. And they win the game. And so what's really funny about the Brett Brown love is that it has come out a little bit today because of what Markelle Fultz said. I don't know if you saw this in Orlando, Markelle Fultz's first press conference, and he kind of threw shade at the Sixers coaching staff. Here's what he had to say. I think it excites me that I have coaches that's going to push you to be better and not just tell you what you want to hear. I think from that aspect, it made me even more excited. He's talking about being in Orlando. Now, let me just... I'll interject this because this has nothing to do with love for Fultz. This has to do with dislike for this kid. Here's a guy that put himself on the pity wagon the whole time he was here. Right? It was always the pity wagon. He resided beautifully on the pity wagon. He sat in a lounge chair in the pity wagon. The Sixers, meanwhile, see, this is a fragile kid. We really can't get strong-armed with the kid. The kid says he's hurt. We got to treat him with kid gloves. They treated him with kid gloves. That's what he wanted because he was a baby here. And here he does. He rips the Sixers for doing it. The coyunes on this guy. My God, I can't believe what I'm hearing out of Orlando with this kid. So that's in play as well. And also, I got to, on Valentine's Day, I got to throw a little golf in. Because this is mind-boggling to me. I said 2 days ago, Tyrone, that I didn't like anybody on the PGA Tour?
Yes.
Now, there are a lot of people that like this guy that we're going to talk about. The crowds, the galleries really like him. When he tees off, it's Cooch, Matt Kuchar. By all accounts, a nice guy. I don't know if you saw this story or not. Matt Kuchar won a tournament, the Mayakoba Classic, and it was in Mexico. And he bagged 1 million. What was it? 1.2 million.
Yeah, 1.296 million
in November. He won the tournament. He gave his caddy $5,000. The caddy bitched. Now, here's the protocol when it comes to caddies. They get a set fee that could be anywhere from $5,000 up, depending on how long the caddy's been with the guy. But there's always a bonus in the contract. Well, it's not really a contract. It's like a word of mouth. That if you play well in the tournament, you make the cut, and you're fairly successful, you'll get 5% of the purse. If you win the tournament, the standard is you pay your caddy 10% of the purse. Obviously, you can do the math yourself. 10% of this particular purse would have been about $130,000. 5% would have been like 54 or whatever it was. Matt Kuchar paid the guy $5,000 and didn't think twice about it. Now, that is downright low and dirty of a guy who's a zillionaire, by the way. Matt Kuchar doesn't want for anything. He's made a ton of money in his PGA career. He tips the caddy $5,000. In Cancun.
So I did the math. That is 0.38 of 1%. That's 0.38, so less than one, almost a third of 1% of the money is the money he gives to the caddy, and then defends it and says, hey, you can't make everybody happy.
He defended it and said, listen, I feel like I was fair and good. You can't make everybody happy. You're not going to buy people's ability to be okay with you, and this seems to be a social media issue more than anything. I think it shouldn't be, knowing that there was a complete agreed-upon deal that not only did I meet, but it's exceeded. Exceeded. You won the tournament. You won $1 million too. What did you exceed with $5,000? I'm with a straight face. This guy says that. That's bad news. All right. Love day. Other than that, it's love day. I'm professing love for the Mexican caddy. Poor guy.
You got to take care of the caddy. Give him 50 grand at least. You got to take care of the caddy. What are you? You wouldn't stiff a waiter or a waitress like that. The guy's been carrying a bag for you for 4 days, helping you win a tournament, and you stiff him?
I don't know. Rumor was that Donald Trump was happy that he only gave him 5,000. No, that's not true. don't you start now, you right wingers, giving me emails. 610-632-0975. Coochie going to give him some money to at least to donate for the wall they want to build. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Mike Missanelli.
On 97.5, The Fanatic.
It's the 4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missanelli Show on 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. The 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop. Created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Pitchers are throwing on the side and to their new catchers. And the man is down there already covering spring training. NBC Sports Philadelphia's own. I saw the first day he was down there and it was raining. I felt real sorry for him. He had the rain gear on. John Clark joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Johnny, what happened? First day wasn't exactly sunshine?
Yeah, but it came out today, mid-70s today, so it's all good, man.
Very nice. All right, so tell us what's going on down there with the pitchers. I know Arrieta had a little surprise meniscus surgery, and they may hold him back a little bit. He says no, but what's the mood down there with the pitchers and catchers?
Well, listen, I think the Phillies think that they've almost accomplished everything they wanted to accomplish this offseason. I think maybe they'd want to add another starting pitcher and, of course, the big free agent. But you got to like the improvements they've made in the lineup and the bullpen. And one thing they've done is they've added guys with playoff experience. This team last year that fizzled out after August didn't really have any playoff experience on their roster. And they add Robertson. They add McCutchen. So you've got some guys now that have that experience that can help them through this. But, of course, with all these moves that are made, we're all just, you know, we keep asking people. And there's so many players on the Phillies who are represented by Scott Boras, and we keep asking, you know, are you hearing anything? Because the elephant or the elephants in the room are still there.
Yes, and the elephants, of course, Machado and Bryce Harper. What kind of vibe are you getting? Now, the general manager is speaking the right things. He's saying it's, you know, even we still had a good offseason, and it's not a total failure if we don't get those guys. But frankly, it is going to be that because people are teased now.
Yeah, and I think, look, they were looking forward to this offseason having the flexibility with a lot of money available to go out and get one of these guys. And I agree with you. I think they got to get one of these guys or I'm going to be let down. And I think fans will be let down. And, you know, from talking to different people, not only with the Phillies and also baseball people who are down here, they think this could go on for weeks and it could stretch into March, kind of like Jake Arrieta did last year. And I think there's a little something going on between these two agents too, Scott Boras and Dan Lozano. Remember, Scott Boras had Manny Machado as a client, and Dan Lozano was able to kind of take him away from Scott Boras. So neither of these guys want to flinch. I think it's a little personal with these guys where, you know, they want to get the biggest deal, and they want the other guy to blink first and sign somewhere so that they can get their guy a bigger offer, because there's a lot of ego involved here with these agents getting the best deal on the market.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably going on. But let me ask you the question of questions. Are the Phillies putting themselves in a danger zone here by playing this game? Are they in danger of, because they're holding back so much, they're in danger of not getting any of these guys?
Yeah, I think they're in a little bit of a danger, but here's the thing. I mean, you know, they're going to give the best offer on the market to both these guys. And I think that's just been the way the whole time. They've said, you know what? Okay, you're doing all this stuff. You want to meet with more teams. You don't like the offers you have so far. Okay, you know, we're going to be here, and we're going to give you the best offer. Now, maybe Manny Machado will take less money to play in New York with the Yankees. Bryce Harper, you know, the Giants apparently aren't going to offer anything more than a 3-4-5 year deal. And if the Phillies are going 7 or 8 years, and his camp says he's only going to sign a long-term deal, and California state taxes are ridiculous, Mike, the Phillies are going to put the best offer on the table for both these guys. So if one of them doesn't come here, it's going to be extremely disappointing, because that means they didn't want to come here for one reason or another.
Talk to me about Aaron Nola and why he decided to take that deal instead of going to the arbitration, getting the 1 year. And, you know, because they really signed him to a team-friendly deal, the way I look at it. Does he look at it that way?
You know what? I totally agree with you. And I asked him that today, and he said it's the right time for a deal with the Phillies. And he said, I don't go out there and play just for the money. I play to win, and I play for my teammates. And look, I think Aaron Nola is a really simple guy. People around the Phillies will tell you he likes to pitch and win and then go fish. And he's not a guy who looks for the spotlight. You see him walking around the complex. He doesn't walk around like an ace. He doesn't walk around like he's somebody special. He almost like lowers his head a little bit when the cameras are around. So I think this guy, he's got an incredible work ethic. And today he told a story about how the inner drive comes from him wanting to be his brother. And his brother wouldn't let him play baseball with him and his friends when he was younger. And he wants to be better than his brother. He has done that. But I think he's happy and content with the Phillies, and they drafted him. And the other thing is, you know, he's had an elbow issue before. And at some point, that elbow could go. And you might need Tommy John surgery at some point. So I think he said, you know what? I'm happy with $45 million over the next 4 years. Maybe could have gotten more if he waited a year or two. But I don't think he's after every penny like some guys are. I think he's content and happy where he is.
Yeah, I don't know how his agent feels about that, but I get you. Now, the position guys. How many position guys are down there working out? How many guys are taking BP? Is everybody there right now?
Mike, I've seen everybody except for Gene Segura and Cesar Hernandez, but everybody else is here. And I think the one thing you're going to see with this lineup is, number one, guys making a lot more contact. And look, JT Realmuto, Mike, this guy's a stud. He was a shortstop and a quarterback in high school, so he's got the athleticism of a position player, not a catcher. And he's the fastest catcher in baseball. And the other thing that I looked up, this guy is going to love Citizens Bank Park, because down in Miami at that awful Marlins Park, it's so hard to hit in that park. 63 of his home runs in his career have been on the road. He's hitting .309 in his career on the road. And I called Elias Sports Bureau for this stat. I don't mean to bore you with a stat, but this is unbelievable to me, because I looked at how his slugging percentage is over 100 points higher on the road in better ballparks. And he has the highest disparity in baseball since he's come into baseball, the 5 seasons he's been in here, of road slugging percentage compared to home slugging percentage. So this guy could pop 30 homers and hit .300 and find those gaps in Citizens Bank Park. He could hit two. He could hit 2, 3, 4, or 5, Mike.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's going to be in the two hole. And if they get Harper, there's a lot of bombs in that lineup. So I love it. Now, let me talk to you about Gabe. Does he seem any different than learning his first year in the job, conducting himself any differently?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not going to say he put on an act the first year, but it seemed like a lot of his answers were rehearsed, and he came in with kind of an act. And he was trying to be somebody that I guess he felt everybody wanted, but I think Philadelphia just wants a little more real out of Gabe. And, you know, from talking to the players, he is extremely communicative of with all the guys. You know, he'll talk to all the guys about, okay, situations, why he's using them in situations in the bullpen. He went up to Michael Franco and had, you know, long heart-to-heart with him about Scott Kingery competing with him for the third base job. But no matter what happens here, I know some players were not happy with some of his moves last year, but I think he is going to be improved in his second year. But the bottom line is if he doesn't get this team to a wild card spot or a playoff spot, then it might be tough for him to keep his job. And look, he's in here to carry out the analytical beliefs of the front office, and baseball's going analytics. And I think it surprised a lot of people in Philadelphia, some of the moves he made, but these kind of moves are being made around baseball.
They are, but so, if he gets Harper or Machado, that lineup's going to be a lot more set than he made it last year. That's for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things. I think last year you're trying to find guys to win jobs and guys to kind of take over at some point. And I do agree. I think this year roles will be a little bit more defined, but I think he's going to be more real with the people of Philadelphia, and you know, that'll be an improvement.
All right, how long are you going to be there?
I will be here until Monday.
All right, let me ask you this question. If they sign either Machado or Harper in the time that you're down there, does Johnny Airport get to Philadelphia International and leave Clearwater just so he can be the first to greet Bryce or Manny?
All right, well, does he fly down here? Does he go straight here? That's a good question.
He might go straight down there, and you could be already. Yeah. You could be staking out the Tampa airport.
Yeah, or the little puddle jumpers at Clearwater.
Or the Clearwater airport he comes in.
Who knows?
But suppose he does fly into Philly, he has to get a physical first, whatever. Are you there?
I will meet you there. I will meet you there.
All right. They're going to have to substitute. NBC Sports Philly's going to have to send somebody down there. All right, man. Well, make it happen, bro. All right?
You got it. I mean, it's got to happen, Mike. They got to get one of these guys.
I agree. Have a good time, bro. We'll be down there. You won't be there.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, talk to you. There he is, John Clark. Yep, Johnny Airport. They sign him tomorrow. He's on the first flight to Philly. Try to catch him.
He'll catch him.
He's got to be ahead of the game here. He's got to anticipate because it may take him too long to get to Philly, and he'll miss.
My guess is that since he's down there, he knows it's not happening this week. He come back Monday.
I don't think anybody knows.
I don't think it's happening.
It could happen tomorrow.
I don't know.
All right, let's go. I have no idea what this town is. What's Mizpah? What is Doc? Doc, where are you from, bro?
Hey, this is formerly Doc from Vineland.
Formerly Doc from Vineland. And where are you now?
Mizpah, Mizpah. It's a little suburb of Vineland.
It's a suburb of Vineland, Mizpah?
I know you guys had a good time when I called about a month ago, said I was from Vineland, and you were talking about Vineland for a while.
It sounds like a Jewish good deed. Bubble.
Yeah, I believe it means outlook.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Anyway, just as an aside, Vineland is the largest city in New Jersey, you know, by area.
Is that right? Vineland is, with all that farmland?
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, that's cool. I like Vineland.
So here's my story.
Yes.
I'm 64.
Uh-huh.
Was married a couple times.
Uh-huh.
But the real love of my life just walked into my life out of nowhere. And this is a good message to other guys out there, or gals. You never know when you least expect it.
Uh-huh. And that's the way it usually happens, when you least expect it.
And she's 35.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at you.
You might say, well, what's wrong with her? She's almost 30 years younger than me.
Uh-huh.
And me, but there's nothing. She's great. She could be a model.
Well, Doc,
she's a great person. Yeah.
You got some cash?
And, well, you know.
You pack in a six-pack or what? What?
That's what they always say, you know, younger girl with an older guy.
Uh-huh.
Either two things. Either he's got tons of money or he's a great lover.
Wow.
Well, I don't really have any money.
Wow.
So, there you go.
You got the gift of gab then. You got some going for you. Well, good luck to you, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. There you go.
Look at that.
Look at that. She's...
What's up, Doc? I was waiting for it.
Doc took her to the cornfield and professed his love out there in Mitzvah.
He's doing all right for himself.
Good for him.
Found himself a young girl.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go, Doc.
She'll put him in the grave in 10 years. Drew in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
What's up,
Mike?
Drew?
Happy VD. It sounds like a disease, happy VD.
Happy
Valentine's
Day. VD? Come on,
yeah,
man.
Right. So anyway.
That's a violation.
That's a violation. That's absolutely a violation. About the Sixers last night, yeah, it was a nice bounce back win. I thought the Sixers had, you know, obviously it was only over the Knicks. So, I mean, we expected that. I'm really hoping we can get up to a three seed here going into, you know, into the playoffs. I'm almost kind of, you know, bummed that we're going into the All-Star break here. I was actually hoping we'd get a little more time to let the team gel, but I guess it's a good thing. Let the team get healthy too at the same time.
Yep. Yeah, it's a good break for them. You know, they can come back. The only problem is no practice time, you know, during this. They're all scattered. You know, I think this is a team that could use some practice time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let Embiid and Simmons do their thing in the All-Star.
Yeah, we're all, you know, the All-Stars how we used to love, because when the Sixers were bad, that was like the only salvation you had, like one of your Sixers in the All-Star game.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You wanted him to be MVP, the Sixers get a little, you know, I remember those days.
So anyway, I got a good little love story. It actually goes back to when I was in high school, though. So this is kind of like the first love of my life type deal.
Yeah.
And I was in a, I played hockey all my life. I was on a travel hockey team, and it just so happened we were eligible to go to our regional tournament to play, you know, teams all around the region, you know, to keep going for nationals, such as that. And the girl I was going out with at the time, we had a winter formal dance that happened to be the same weekend as the hockey tournament. So I chose sports over love, and obviously I chose to go to the hockey tournament over the formal dance.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be a total D-bag, so I said, well, you go anyway, just go with a friend, you know, so you can go, you got a dress and everything like that. Well, that turned out to be the biggest mistake of my life, because that friend turned out to be a little bit more than a friend after that dance. And ended up, you know, kind of leading to, the breakup, you know, and I chose sports over love for that point, and I was 16 years old, and found out what love was all about back then.
Yeah, I think you had to choose the sports at 16, though. See, that happened to me where I didn't choose sports over the love. I did not go on a travel tournament because the girlfriend I had at the time was leaving for college, going to Arizona State.
Ah.
So I was betwixt and between. I either stay up to the time she left, or I played in this baseball tournament.
So what'd you do?
He stayed.
I stayed.
Yeah. See?
Hey, missed the baseball tournament. It's a big tournament, too. Like, scouts and stuff.
Yeah.
So your whole life could have been different, hypothetically.
Well.
You did all right for yourself, though.
Yeah, I still had a chance to play, but who knows? Yeah.
That one scout season.
Because that girl went to Arizona State, dumped me anyway. From afar. Keep that together. She's in Arizona.
Come on. Yeah,
so I was foolish. I wasn't reading the tea leaves the right way.
You hear that, kids out there? You youth that are listening. Now listen, prime time's going to be here before you know it, kids.
Exactly. All these stories now coming back. Apparently I hit on someone in a press box named Kim in the Flyers press box.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Yeah, but if you have a choice between
love, take the sports.
Take the sports at this age.
Yeah. At this age when you're young.
At this age, yeah.
All right, let's go. Dave in Holmesburg. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Mike, how are you today?
What's up, Dave?
I loved your interview with John Clark.
Well, thanks, man. You all excited about baseball?
Excuse me?
All excited about baseball?
Maybe. I picked up the thing there where you said about the two agents there, maybe going back at it in between.
Yeah.
It came to this, like, Phillies. That is the case. The Phillies just say to Harper, listen, Harper, we want you. We're going to sign you. And if he signs, goes higher and gets it, we'll match it or do better. Can't they do that?
Giving him a blank check to do that. I think they think that the agent will come back to them and they can beat any deal they get on the board. And I think what the agents right now are trying to do is get the best deal they can. So the Phillies deal will have to go past what somebody offered him. Now, the Giants are only going to go 3-4 years. They're not going to go
Giants,
Harper.
I'm not worried about Giants. I'm saying tell Bryce Harper right up front, we're going to mash anything they give at
you. Yeah, I'm sure that they've. I'm sure that they have said that. And, okay, and that's, two, that's why they're trying to get all these offers.
All right. The guy in Houston. I'm not going to throw him out. I'm leaving.
You're leaving.
Yeah. I'll keep in touch with the little kid because she is my niece. Now, that could change. Just, no, I don't want to sound morbid here.
Yeah, but it's your house. It's your house.
Well, I'm still leaving.
You're leaving.
If my brother was to die, not being morbid, now maybe I could hook up with the girl.
Okay.
Okay.
So he has to be dead first.
The stuffed dog?
Yeah.
Oh, that was pretty cool. I don't mind that.
You don't mind
it? She bring out a stuffed ex-boyfriend.
She brought out a stuffed collie and put the collie next to the sofa, was petting the collie as they were watching the movie.
As long as I ain't a stuffed ex-boyfriend, I would say no.
All right. Well, there you go. Sees nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, he and you are both out of your mind.
Questionable.
All right, I got another story.
It involves
a Sixers center of the past.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Of the past.
No, nothing that he did anything wrong. Yeah. But it's the girlfriend. So he's back in 2001 during the spring. You know, that was a big spring.
Big spring.
My girlfriend was out at Old City one night, and she met this particular backup center. Starting center.
Okay.
Before he was, he was hurt.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
You know
what
we're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a Caucasian center. So I did not think anything of it. They were missing the finals run. So one day me and my girlfriend and her friend got tickets to a Raptors playoff game. Now, she was the opposite of a sports-loving girl, so I thought she was just jumping on the bandwagon. So then Allen Iverson gets married, and the Daily News does a story in the paper. The back cover, there's a picture of the ceremony, and there's Geiger walking hand-in-hand with a girl, and was in black and white. Now, my girl wore a very distinctive dress to my friend's wedding. Oh, it was Geiger. Did I say Geiger?
Yes.
All right, so that's Matt Geiger. Well, Matt Geiger didn't do anything wrong. He met a girl, and he took her to AI's wedding. So the picture in the Daily News, he sees the black and white, and he sees a dress that looks like it's his girlfriend's dress, but it's in black and white. So he says, his friend calls me and says, "You see the Daily News?" I said, "No." So I went to buy it, and I could not tell at first because it was black and white. But later, my friend got the picture in color from the Daily News, and it was clearly the dress, and it was clearly her.
Oof.
That's the same scenario that happened in the movie Major League with Corbin Burnson ducking out with the girl behind. Don't you remember?
Yeah.
And the wife saw it on TV?
Yeah.
And then she decided to go with the Wild Thing.
Yeah, she
that's
goes,
the same scenario.
Yeah,
but I love these touching love stories.
Yeah, that's not touching at all.
The girl got snagged.
No good.
Oh, Maddie. 610-632-0975. Coming up, the love sex medley. Yes, you can win a gold dip rose and also a big package of grand prize. We'll tell you about that after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.